Would you turn with me to Psalm 66? Psalm 66, we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Psalm 66, would you give ear to the reading of God's word? Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised, and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Now God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come now to your word, we come, Father, with a great desire in our hearts to grow in our knowledge and understanding of you. We ask that you would minister in each and every heart here, that you would help us, Father, to hear the truth, apply it to our lives. For it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen. The last thing Jesus says to his disciples as he ascends to the Father is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This commission is not an individual commission. It is a collective commission. That doesn't mean you don't have to obey the commission. It means you have to find how you can be a part of that commission within the collective body of the church. What gifts has God given you to help the church carry out this commission? This psalm and its message underscores the continuing relevance of this great commission. While the commission was given to the church collectively, every Christian has a part to play in carrying it out. And I believe this psalm will help you see your responsibility in this process. The title of this sermon is, Come Before God, All the Earth. Even before Jesus Christ came into this world, the responsibility of the believer was to tell others of God, to call all men to come before God, acknowledging him as their sovereign Lord. Throughout the scripture, God gives the call for all men to come and hear his message of forgiveness. In this psalm, he makes a plea for men to hear the message that he is the Creator God, the sovereign Lord Almighty, and to come and consider the evidence he has placed in his creation. He also calls them to hear and consider that he is also the great Savior God, and to examine the evidence he has given through his people. Your duty begins here. You are to witness to what God has done in your life. You do this so others can see his work and know its truth. Let's study the psalm. First, we will hear the call to come and praise God. Second, we look at the call to come and see His great works. Third, we will see the truth about the call to come and remember what He has done for His people. Fourth, we shall examine the call to come and do. Fifth, we inquire into the call to come and hear. The call to praise goes out to all men. None are exempt from this call. Verses 1 through 4. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name. It's the God who calls for praise that has created all things and given life to all men. And they are called by sovereign decree to come and offer praise to Him. It doesn't matter if they have heard of Him or not. They are called, believer and heathen alike, to come and lift their voices in song before Him. This praise is to resound with joy. It is to be a joyful celebration of our Creator God. One in which all men sing of His glory and acknowledge His great wisdom and power. We call this worship. And it's what we're doing right now. The songs offered are to be in His name. The name that is above every name. The name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Scripture gives the reasons we are to praise His name. Psalm 72, verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're called. Called to come and praise God for the wonder of His most gracious gift, His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your worship. The gist of your praise is to be found in the terrible acts of righteousness God has performed to free you from bondage to sin and death. Jesus Christ came into this world to live the perfect life you could not live. To die the atoning death you needed for reconciliation to your God. And to win the victory you had to have over death, the grave, and Satan. You must acknowledge these great, awesome deeds of grace and mercy. You must understand you're a sinner. Lost and without hope apart from Jesus Christ. You must see the work of Christ's life and death. That they are things you could never hope to accomplish for yourself. You must understand, they are accomplished only by God's grace, mercy, and power. These are great acts of a marvelous God who has poured His love out upon you while you were still lost in your sin. It is God who has loved you first. Your response to His love is to return your love to Him and to show your love through obedience to His commands and the lifting of praise from your hearts. Not only does this call go out as a universal call for all men to come, but also to worship. All men were created. Therefore, all men owe to God their lives and their honor. The way you show this is through coming and offering to Him a true heartfelt worship, as He teaches you to do from the Scripture. You go into the world. You let your life be a witness to others of the grace you have found in Jesus Christ. He makes it clear in the song. Your duty is to show all men what you have learned of God. You go in witness of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Those who hear and receive are to be brought back to the church to learn. To learn all Jesus came to teach. So they can lift voice in proper praise and worship before Him. The Christian faith is to be a faith of the ear, not the eye. So why? Why here does David call men to come and see? What is it that he calls them to see? Verses 5 through 7. Come and see what God has done. How awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. He calls them to see the awesome works of God on their behalf. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them for man. He created man for himself. There is a revelation that comes to all men from the creation. And that revelation is that there is a God. You cannot study with an open mind this world and not know there's a creator. For the whole of creation speaks to that fact. So, come and see the marvelous things God has prepared to sustain men in this world. Look at the ground upon which you stand. Consider how many marvelous things come from it. Notice the plants around you, how much they provide for you to live. Look at water and how precious it is to life. Consider the sky above and how it protects and gives you oxygen to breathe. Is there nothing in this world that in some way does not serve mankind? It was all a part of the plan of the mighty Creator God. Come and see all he's done for you. Once you have seen and understood, go and spread the good news to everyone that comes across your path. Once you have considered his creation and seen the power needed to make it all, then consider the works of his hands on behalf of his people throughout history. Again, this doesn't go against what we have said about Christianity being a religion of the ear. David uses the example of Israel coming out of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. As the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God did more miracles before men than at any other time in history, except perhaps in the life of Christ. The people of Israel saw these great works of God, but it didn't change their hearts. Time after time, God brought judgment on them because they would not believe what they saw. David says you need to come and see these mighty acts of God. It should cause you to rejoice in him. The idea is that this God we are called to serve is a God of great power. God is ruling this world by his power. He's not, as some believe, locked in a deadly conflict with Satan that he could lose if he didn't win enough men to his side. He is the creator of all things, including Satan. Satan exists only because God allows him to exist. God has his eye upon everything going on in this world. Some use this as an excuse to slander God by saying he must then be the author of sin. Yes, God created the concept of sin. He created it when he gave man the ability to make choices. God allowed evil into the world so man would have a choice. Would he choose right or wrong? Would he choose God or himself? He chose himself. Sin is the outworkings of man choosing himself over God. So man is the author of sin. God is still controlling the course of this world. He directs the affairs of the nations and sets men in places of authority at his own will. He calls men everywhere to come and see the power he has over the affairs of men as an example of his great power. These great acts of God's power are not reviewed in the scripture to save. They are placed there as a testimony of the power and control of God over this world and the affairs of men. Just as the people of Israel would not believe when they saw many miracles performed, neither would the people of Christ today. In the face of many miracles, like which no man had ever seen before, they continued in their unbelief. The only way that cycle of unbelief will be broken is when God gives a new heart. Then the gifts of the new heart are activated. Thus, Your life is changed from a life of sin to a life of grace. In this next section, David calls men to come and remember the God of Israel. This call can mean nothing to the unregenerate, but to the saved, it means everything. Look at verses 8 through 12. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. This call is to the chosen seed, those who are peculiarly loved. It is to the saints that this call to praise their covenant God goes out. Who but the covenant children could offer meaningful praise to the covenant God? Those who were first visited by His love should be foremost in offering praise to His name. This call to remember is also a call to make known to all who have not heard or believed the truths of this great God. Lift your voices and shout of the wonderful things God has done, that no man will have the excuse that they have never heard. The first of these declarations of praise come from God's work in your own heart. It's through Jesus Christ that your life has been saved, your soul set free from the bondage of sin. There is nothing that will draw you to another faster than having someone save your life. We call men who risk their own lives to save others heroes. Jesus Christ came not to risk His life for you, but to give His life on your behalf. To take upon Himself that which you could not bear. He suffered a terrible fate, eternal death, that you would be delivered from it. What gratitude you owe to Him. Is what He has done for you not worth your lifting voice in praise to Him? Is it not worth your telling others of this wonderful grace? Along with this heroic act of saving your soul, God also enables you by His grace to carry this message and to voice your praise. He doesn't leave you without a firm foundation. There was a book entitled Relativism, and I couldn't remember the name of the author. It had a very interesting subtitle: Feet Firmly Planted in Midair. In other words, in the philosophy of relativism, there is no foundation upon which to rest. In this call to come and remember, you're assured of having a solid floor upon which to stand. You are called to live and to stand firm by divine grace. All whom God calls, He makes immortal and immovable. If your enemies, it is your enemies that shall fall and flee. In Ephesians, we're called to put on the whole armor of God, and once it's on, to stand firm. God worked in your life. These are the things He's calling you to remember. The Christian life is a life of struggle. Those struggles are a part of your growing. God uses the troubles of your life to refine you, to mold you more and more into the image of His Son. There's no saying that says God had only one son without sin, but He has never had a single son without trial. Hebrews 5:8 says of Jesus, although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. Suffering is a part of the believer's journey through this foreign land. It was designed by God to toughen and harden you against the evils of this world, to help you grow in your understanding. You're saved by grace and carried through this life by grace and by grace alone. David then relates some of the trials Israel suffered in bringing them into the promised land. In Hebrews 4, you're told that the promised land represented the coming rest that would be yours in Jesus Christ. The Israelites were afflicted, persecuted, caused to go through hard times and dry places before they came into the promised rest. This is the same thing that happens in the individual lives of believers. David says, remember all these hard times and then reflect on where God is taking you. He says to God in verse 12, but you brought us into a place of abundance. My friends, the place of abundance that awaits all who persevere is heaven. Remember, God's work on your behalf. Lift your voice in praise and look to what He has prepared for those who are faithful. Go and tell others of this wonderful promise. This is how you, as an individual Christian, participate in the commission given in Matthew. You collectively worship and study. You use your gifts to help make the church stronger. You live your life in such a way as to draw others to Jesus and into His body. God calls you to come and do. To praise God with the mouth is good, but it's not enough. Once you have opened your mouth to offer praise before this holy God, you must praise Him by your actions as well. Look at verses 13 through 15. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you in an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. God promised Abraham He would be a blessing to all nations. Then He set out through history to make Abraham that blessing. He gave His law to show men their sin and their need of grace. He sent the prophets to prepare men to hear His message of grace. Jesus Christ came to prepare the blessing promised to Abraham. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life no other man could ever live. After which He offered that life as a sacrifice for the sins of His people. He completed the work of redemption and returned to the right hand of the Father in order that He might send His Spirit to guide the elect into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes to enable you to not only voice your praise, but to live it. He calls you here to come and do. Come. Bring your sacrifices. Fulfill your vows. Make known by your actions the love God has settled in your heart. In Romans 12:1, you're told what the sacrifices of the followers of Christ are to be. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. The burnt offering you offer to God is your own will and pleasure. It is to be offered on the altar of your heart, and in its place, you accept the will and pleasure of God for your life. You make this sacrifice that you might be a part of something bigger and better, as Peter explains in 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God calls you to come and do what He has prepared for you to do. He calls you to be a part of building His kingdom. One of the important parts of this is emulating God in your life. God made promises to the early patriarchs. He fulfilled each and every promise made. Therefore, He calls you to keep your word, to fulfill your vows. When your heart was renewed, you saw your rebellion against this great and holy God. You cried out in despair at your hopeless condition. You promised God, if He would save you, you would honor Him with your life. God knows. As a sinful man, you cannot keep your word without his help. So he promised to give you a helper. He sent the Holy Spirit to show you the way, to lead you into all the truth. The first truth the Holy Spirit manifested to each of you was your failure to follow God's commands. You are called to come and do. The thing you must do does not entail your earning salvation, for that is a free gift. What you are called to do is respond to the love shown you in Christ Jesus by striving for obedience to God's word. Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He makes clear also that this work is not to earn salvation when he says, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Yes. Yes, you're called to come and do. This is what you're to do. Offer yourself on the altar of your heart and be obedient unto God's word. Fulfill those things you promised, even to your own hurt. The words of your mouth and the actions of your life are important as testimony before other men of God's grace at work in your life. You are also called to come and hear the truth of God's word. Verses 16 through 20. Come and listen, all who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. God first called you to come and see. He desired you to know there's a God. But what you must know is that mercy can come only through the ear. Revelation says, if any man has an ear, let him hear. He is to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation is provided through Christ and through him alone. There's no other way in which a man can be saved. Christianity is a religion of the ear, and only those who hear and believe in Christ as the one and only God, come in the flesh, will be saved. All others, no matter how bright, sincere, or lovely, will be condemned to an eternity in hell. He calls you to come and hear. And he makes it plain. This call is only to those who have seen his terrible acts and come with fear in their hearts. A fear that says, if I am not right with God, I will join those in hell who would not believe the truth. But this fear drives you to know you are a sinner, lost and without hope apart from the grace offered in Jesus Christ. It's a fear that recognizes your hopeless condition, that you cannot earn from God his grace. Also, it is also a guide to you as you go out to witness to others. Let your life speak. Your actions shout of the grace in which you live. When others see grace at work in you, they will ask, what is this hope in which you live? Then you will see the fear of God come upon them, and you will be able to tell them what God has done for you. The church has gone to great lengths to try and make up plans to follow in witnessing to others. I'm not throwing off on any of these plans. I'm just here to tell you they are not necessary. If God has worked in your heart, you are prepared to witness. David says, let me tell you what he has done for me. This is witnessing, simply telling others what God has done for you. Quit making something simple hard. You don't need to be a theologian to be a witness. You need but be a child of God. When you begin witnessing in those to whom you are talking, keep trying to debate the theological issues, kick off the dust of your feet and move on. David gives you an example to follow. He says, I cried out to God. In other words, he acknowledged his sinfulness and God's holiness. He pleaded with God to hear his prayer and forgive his sins. How hard is it to tell someone, I was a sinner because I refused to obey God. I saw my sin and turned away from it, asking God to help me, and he did. This is a true witness. He then says he lifted his voice and praised. Remember, all these things you were to come and praise, to come and see, to come and remember, and to come and do. Tell those who are interested of these things. Doesn't need to be some great theological treatise or a great sermon. It needs to be simply the truth. Tell them that your relationship with God can only be because you have turned over your life to God. You no longer hold things in your heart that would displease Him. Please, make sure they understand those things still enter your heart and mind, but you confess them as sin and turn away from listening to them. Tell them because of Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary's cross, you come into the presence of God. Tell them you know He will preserve you until the day of judgment. Tell them you will be cleansed forever because of Christ Jesus. Praise God before all who will listen with an open heart and don't reject these glorious truths. Tell them if they will but hear and believe, God will hear their prayer of faith and will not withhold His love from them either. Salvation is a decree of God, and God's decrees are explicit. Everyone who was chosen in the beginning will be saved in the end. The call, however, is to all men to hear and believe. Some will hear with their ears and not with their hearts. They will choose to continue on the broad road instead of turning aside into the narrow way. You're not responsible for their choice. You're only responsible to carry the message of salvation to all who will listen. I would encourage you this morning to consider well your responsibility. Live your life such that it speaks of your Creator and His love. Work to make your life a cry to a dark world that shouts, "Come before God, all the earth." And be prepared to tell them as they come of the wonderful things He's done for you, and direct them to the Word and to the church so they can be taught and helped to grow in grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, indeed You're a gracious and merciful God. You have worked in our hearts. You have enabled us to be witnesses for You. We thank You and praise You for that. Give us the strength and the courage we need to go out and minister Your word. For it is in Christ's name we ask. Amen.